It was spoken to us this year that we're going to come into a place of great victory and great authority as we walk in to the other side. So how many of you have found that as you begin walking into the other side, you've had a lot of conflict, you've had a lot of warfare, but what that is doing in you, it is giving you an opportunity for great victory and great authority in your life. And that's an exciting thing to be, a place to be. God also said this year that God is giving you the grace that you need this year to go to the other side. How many of you this week alone, you have stood there and you have said, man, God, your grace is enough. Your grace is, how many of you didn't feel like His grace is enough? It didn't look like His grace was enough, but you have stood and believed. Why? Because God's Word says that. God's Word says, my grace is enough for you, even in your weakness. So it's been declared this year that God's grace is going to be enough to take us where God wants to take us this year. Something else that's been said over this year is that we're going to have miracles right before, right going into, and on the other side. You know, the children of Israel, they had that. They had miracles all along the way. They wouldn't stop and even most of the time acknowledge the miracles all along the way. Man, God was miraculously moving all along the way. And it is our heritage as children of God to have miracles every day. So we need to know that even though this situation might not be the breakthrough situation, that this is a place that God still wants to give us miracles every day that we step into walking to where God wants us to walk to. Here's something else that was God said to our church this year. That God is getting ready to stop the enemy and He's getting ready to take off the Egyptians' wheels. How many of you can stand into agreement with that? How many of you, the enemy is chasing you in some areas? How many of you, he's even a hot pursuit. You can feel his breath behind your neck. There is an activation place in the spirit this year where God is going to get so involved in the enemy that he's going to take off those wheels, and that is going to be a whole mess, not in your life. It's going to be a mess for the enemy. These are things that God has declared for you to see in advance. Because I'm going to tell you one thing that the children of Israel would not do. They would not see what God would do on this side. They had to get on the other side to see what God would do. And God is not okay with that. We are called to be a people that can see what God will do before He does it. We are called to be a people that can see what God will do before He does it. Because why? Because God wants to do it through us. God wants to do it through us. So I'm just going to encourage you one more word because I love this one. Give me just a second to find it. I'm usually a lot more organized, but this was God throwing this on me last minute. Well, I'm going to give it to you in my own words. Because this is what God said. God said that He is getting ready to get ugly with the devil. God is getting ready to get ugly with the devil this year. There are things that your whole life that the enemy has tried to step in between you and God, that the enemy has tried to manipulate about God, that he has tried to hinder from God doing in your life. And I'm going to tell you, God is not okay with that. And if we'll get in alignment with what God has said to us as a church this year, God is about to get ugly on the enemy. And be the people that say it before. Be the people of courage that say, on this side, I saw it coming. Even before it manifested into my life, on this side, I saw it coming. Because what will happen is, when you speak that out and other people see it, other people see that you're saying what God is doing, and then God does it. You know what God starts doing in them? He starts working an activation of faith in their life. God is using you to build faith in other people. Don't be somebody that God has to rescue every time. Be the one. That's what we're talking about tonight. Be the one God can speak to, and you can see what He tells you to see. How many of you remember what we talked about last week? How many of you built your ark this week? How many of you got up? You did the same thing you did every day. You got up, you prayed, you believed God, you sought God, you stood, you heard, you obeyed, you started building an ark again. How many of you continuously did what God told you to do? You were obedient. You were obedient. I love this scripture that I found this week because it gives you the long-term view of what we're doing, I believe, in this season. Now, remember Noah. Noah heard, and then he from hearing, he decided what he was going to see, right? And because he decided what he was going to see from what he heard, then he could obey God. Now, remember, Saul didn't do that. Saul heard, and what he heard was not what God saw. It was what the people around him, and because of that, he couldn't obey God. We are called to be people that hear and see. And that's a lot of what we talked about last week. Now, Jesus confirmed this in Matthew 24:37. It's such a neat scripture. It says in 24:36, I'm going to start right there. It says, and this is Jesus speaking. He said, but of that day and that hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now, Jesus is talking about a certain time, but how many of you know when Jesus is talking about one thing, he's talking about many things, right? And there's a way of God. As you read the Bible, you need to learn how God works, because God works in a way throughout the Bible that you can say, God, because you work this way, I know you are this way, all right? It goes on to say, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. And I'm actually going to read this right here because I like this version better. It says, when the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days, before the flood, people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time that Noah was entering his boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came down and swept them all away. Every day this year that you're getting up and you're being obedient and you're putting that word that God has spoken to you above your house and above your job and above your marriage and above your kids and above your family, when you're doing that, you're doing something that when the rest of the world doesn't know what to do, you're going to be getting in a boat. You're going to be getting into that place of safety and security and protection and preservation and prosperity and blessing this year. So you need to have a clear understanding that when you are hearing and obeying, you are doing what God has told you to do. When you are being faithful, God is doing something supernatural, and He is preparing something that is bigger than what you could ever even imagine. He is preparing something for you. All right, I'm just going to touch base right at the end of where we were last week because I want to finish. I'd love to finish. I'd love once to finish something. I'd love to get to finish something because next week we're really going into spiritual warfare. But I believe there are two points we've got to know before we go there. One of them is what you see defines, what you hear defines what you see. And what you see will define what you do. All of that is a spiritual concept. All of that declares the spiritual way we see things, the spiritual way we act, the spiritual way that we hear God. But there's another concept into that that I think works even to a deeper level than just in our own lives. Remember what we talked about in 2 Corinthians 2:11. It said, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. How many of you found out that the enemy was trying to play mind games with you this week? Did y'all catch it? Did y'all catch all of it? I didn't catch all of it. I caught some of it. I got better this week than I did last week. The enemy, remember that word devices, it means mind games. It means the enemy is going to come at your mind, and he's going to try to implant thoughts of fear and lies. And remember, if he does it right here, just like he did with me and my sweet husband, his purpose is not just here. It's to get you to back off from the war, from the stand that God has placed you in. So here's what he'll do. He'll come and he'll whisper things that are familiar to you. And when he does that, he's got a whole attack over here planned because he's playing mind games with you. And we are smarter than the devil. Why? Because we have God. We have the Holy Spirit that helps us not do what what the enemy wants us to do. That's why Paul could say, for we are not ignorant. You can't say anymore that you're ignorant of his devices. Because you've been taught. I've been taught. Once I've been taught, I've got to be accountable to hold my mind and my thoughts in alignment with God. And when I do fail, I got to repent. And that means my mom loves this. She always says repent means turn around and go the other way. So that means you got to say and do what you need to do, but then you stand up and you go the other way. You don't sit there in it. You don't stay in that battle. Then we also came, and I love this because this is where Paul shows us God's eyes versus the enemy's eyes. Remember, Paul said, we are hard pressed on every side. That's the physical way to look at a situation. But then he came right behind it with God's eyes, but he said, but I am not crushed. God's eyes overcomes any situation that the devil places you in. So no matter where you're hard pressed on every side, God's eyes on that is he can't crush you. He cannot crush you. He cannot come near enough to you to cause damage to you. He can just get on every side. We are perplexed through the eyes of the flesh. But we are never in despair through the eyes of the Spirit, because I'm going to tell you, God knows everything. God has already worked a plan involved in this. There is no chance God put you there and said, oh, what am I going to do with you right there? How am I going to let me figure this? God has already been working in that to position you there to do great and mighty things. Which moves us to tonight. Tonight being point two of what I believe God really wants us to know before we head into warfare is, will you be the one God can use in this situation? You're going to have to make a decision early on. That's going to be me. Because the devil is going to give you every opportunity to bail out. He's going to give you every excuse to bail out. He's going to open every back door into your life to give you the opportunity, the avenue, and the reason to back out from being the one that God has chosen to use in that situation. But I can promise you, God wants to use you. His desire is to place you there and to equip you there and to strengthen you there and to do things beyond what you could imagine in the place he has put you. For some of us, that's our marriage. For some of us, that's our job. For some of us, that's our kids. That's our home. For some of us, that's our relationship. For some of us, that's our health. For some of us, that is a situation that even if we tried to explain it, we could not explain it. How many of you have situations like that? If I tried to explain what God's trying to do here, I don't even think I could. But what you do know is you're fighting something spiritual and it's bigger than you. Where you are, God's desire is to use you. But you have got to make a decision. I'm going to be the one God will use. How many of you remember Joseph? Okay. Joseph was the one that God wanted to use. How do we know that? Because God gave Joseph dreams. Do you remember that? God gave Joseph these dreams very early on in his life that he was the one that God wanted to use to do things for his family. Well, we find out the bigger picture, God wanted to use Joseph to save all of Egypt. God had a miraculous plan for Joseph's life. But do you know what God did? God moved Joseph so far away from his family that it seemed impossible that Joseph could be the one that God could use. I'm going to tell you, it don't matter what you look like in your family situation. It don't matter how it looks or what it looks like or how it feels or how it's set up. If God is speaking to you about that situation, God wants to use you. If God is speaking to you about situations you're involved in, God is wanting to use you. I'm going to tell you, if God is speaking to you about situations you're not even involved in, God wants to use you. Because Joseph's life got taken far away. Joseph's life got put in a prison for years. Joseph had to know, God, you're going to use me. I don't have a clue how. I can't even begin to imagine how you would be able to use a man in chains, in prison. But you know what? Your word is true. Your promises are true. I know what you told me you would do. And because Joseph would not relent, he would not back up, he would not take a back door, he would not bail out. This is what Joseph said. Any stage in Joseph's life, Joseph would say, God, I will not fail you. I will not fail you. You know why Joseph would not fail God? Because Joseph knew that God would not fail him. Joseph knew that what God had told him that he would do. But most of that season, it didn't look like that. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. In seasons in my life, most of the seasons never looked like what God wanted to do. Up until the moment that God moved. Joseph went from the prison to the palace in one day. Think about that. In one day, God was able to take Joseph from something that seemed completely pointless and no way that God could use him, and moved him into something so supernatural that he could not just, there he could help his family, but he could help all kinds of people. God's desire is to move into our life, and usually God moves swiftly. The Bible says a lot of times with the way that God moves is that God moves suddenly. And the way that this year has been going, I believe for a lot of us, I'm just going to tell you, I believe that we're going to see the sudden move of God in our lives this year. If we will believe. Because what it didn't look like yesterday, if we will stand and believe, that's exactly what it's going to look like tomorrow if we don't believe. But if we will believe what God has told us, we're going to wake up one day and you know what? The king is going to be saying, come on, come live in my house. Come on, come live in my house. God will not fail you this year. He will not fail you this year. If you will hold His words, and it causes you to see and operate and believe what He has told you. And if all throughout your life you say, God, use me. God, use me. Let me tell you, Joseph's life was not easy. To be the one that God will use is not an easy life. It's a good life. But a lot of times it's not easy. You've got to be determined, God. This is what Job said. Job's wife came and said, you know what? Just curse God and die. She felt, you know, at that point she was, you know, this is a sad situation that you're in. And you know what Job said? I love this scripture. You need to really think about this scripture this year when the enemy has you in seasons. Job said, well, I take the good from God and not the adversity. Now stop and think about that. God is going to cause everything in your life to turn good. But for something to turn good, it's got to start by being ungood. Okay? So, you have got to be a place in your heart where you say, God, I'm going to take the good, and I'm going to take the pre-good. I'm going to take the good, and I'm going to take the pre-good. And I'm going to be the one person that will stand here like Job, and I'm going to say, I will not curse my God. I will not curse my God. God is faithful. And if you can have a stand in God's faithfulness, God will be faithful to you this year. The scripture that I feel like we need to keep our eyes on this year, because I'm going to tell you, it's not going to look, it's not in my life throughout this year, what I believe God is going to do and what I believe God has already said and done, it never looked like that in the beginning. In the middle, until right up until the end when God decided to move, God gave this release and it manifested itself. This is what the scripture means when it says in 1 Corinthians 4, don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. God wants to do some eternal things, but He's got to have somebody who will believe in things that you don't see. He's got to have somebody that can look at something and say, no matter what this looks like, I know God is all over this. How many of you remember Joseph's brothers? Remember when they left Joseph, not even knowing that was Joseph, they found a cup in their bag? Remember how terrifying that was for them? Now that cup to them meant judgment. That cup to them, probably in their mind, meant execution. That cup was a horrible thing to them. But let me tell you what that cup meant. That cup meant restitution. That cup meant bringing back a family together. That cup meant salvation for their whole family. That cup meant that they were going to get to go back and tell their daddy something that would cause him to smile again. What God has placed in your life, it might look like something that nothing good could come out of it. But I'm going to tell you, God's hand is all over it. And it means something more to God than what you can see with your natural eye. I sat and prayed with my husband this week when we interceded for a situation, because here's what we knew. We knew what it looked like, but man, we knew God was all over it. Have you ever been there? Man, you can see something that in the natural, it does not in any way look good. But you say, God, I know your hand is all over this, so whatever your hand is wanting to make this be, let me be the one that sees it so that I can start speaking about the goodness of God before it manifests itself into our life. We can be the ones that usher in God's will. God wants to use us for that. God wants to be able to use you to be the mouthpiece that He can speak into existence the things that are not seen. That's why you're in that situation. That's why you're in that place. You're in there to be able to show how big God is. Because I'm going to tell you, there's a million people that will not be the one. There's a million people on this earth that have no desire to be the one. That do not have the faith in God to be the one. You are unique. You are unique to God if you'll stand when nobody else will stand. You are unique to God. You are valuable to God. You are valuable to God if He can put you somewhere and He can trust you to believe against what everybody else says they see. You need to know that when you stand there, and this is what God told us today in prayer, God is standing with you. He would never put you there to make you stand alone. Man, I am believing for my family. I am trusting God. God, it feels like I am here and I am on my own and I am by myself. God says, no, I'm standing there with you. Be the one. Be the one that can usher in the will of God into your marriage. Be the one that can usher in the will of God into your children's life. Be the one that will say, God, you can do it. Because there's a million people all over this world that are telling God every day what He can't do. And God's tired of that. Church, I'm going to tell you, God is tired of that. God wants some people to activate miraculous power through. God wants some people that will step out in faith and give Him the opportunity to meet you there. He desires to show this world how big He is. All throughout the Bible, we see this. All throughout the Bible, we see the manifestation of God in the act of one person's faith. And how many times when we're in those situations do we say, well, God, it's just me. It's just me, or it's just me and my husband. God said, you have no idea what I can do with one person's faith. You have no idea what God can do with just your open heart, open ears, believing what He says. In 2 Kings 5, this story, I think, is the same story we see replayed over and over and over again in the Old Testament and the New Testament. This story starts out with a problem. It starts out with a man, and a man has leprosy. Everybody knows the story of Naaman. I love that story. And what happens is Naaman has leprosy. It even says he's a mighty man, but he's a leper. And Naaman is in an ungodly place. And Naaman is an ungodly man. And God wants to do something. God wants to show off. God wants to show up. God wants to let His name be glorified. I'm going to tell you, God is happy with His name being glorified. God is happy. happy with His name being glorified in your life. So Naaman is sick, and he's to a point that he can't even really go out much. And inside of Naaman's house, God has placed an Israelite servant, a little girl. It don't matter where you're at. God wants to use you. It don't matter where you're at. God wants to use you. God's desire is to find people to activate His power through. So there's this little girl, and she's in this house, and she sees this man, and he's very sick, and she just hears. She hears. You know what? I know somebody that can hear him. I know that where I come from, there's a God that heals. I know where I come from, there's a God that saves. So she made a decision. I'm just going to open up my mouth and I'm just going to speak. I'm just going to open up my mouth and I'm just going to speak. So this little girl went to Naaman and she said, "You know what? I know a man that can heal you." So Naaman got all excited and he went to the king and he said, "Hey, this girl says there's a man in Israel that can heal me." So the king got all excited. They are all excited because you know what? They believe somebody, somewhere, somehow has an answer. Church, I want you to know that we should be people that let out God's known word that somewhere, somehow, in this world, there's an answer. So they send a letter to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel gets this letter and he reads this letter and it says he tore his clothes. He got all upset and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive? This man sends me a man to heal him. Therefore, see how this king is trying to fight with me." God set that king up to be the one. You need to know that if you're in authority, if you're in leadership, God has put you there to be the one. To be the one that can cause change through the power of God in everybody that's under you. Where you allow fear, fear is allowed. Where you allow doubt, doubt is allowed. Man, Israel was rampant with fear and doubt and unbelief at that time. Why? Why? Because there was a king who would not see what God had placed him there for. So when the king heard, he saw fear. And because he would not be the one, he got mad. But this is when Elisha stepped in. I want everyone even here to say this with me. I want you to say, "God has called me to be an Elisha to this day." That is the truth. God has called you to be the answer to this day. So when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king had torn his clothes and just made a fool of himself, he said, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me so he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." People around you should be able to tell that there is something different about the way you handle things than they handle things. They should be able to see that you don't crumble, that you stand strong, and that you believe. God has called you to be the one in any situation He has placed you. So then it goes on, and we know that Naaman came, and he said, "You know what, go and wash yourself seven times," and Naaman got offended. And then finally Naaman came to his senses, and he went, and he did what Elisha had told him to do. And when he did, he was healed. He was healed. Now, I want you to know that Elisha did not say that they shall know there's a prophet in Israel so that Elisha could get glory. Because the way we know that Elisha did that was, Elisha did that in such a way that he wouldn't wave his hands over him. That he wouldn't come and do a dance around him. Elisha healed Naaman in such a way that when Naaman was healed, he said, "Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel." God wants to use you in such a way that when God uses you, only God can get the glory. Anything you do on your own, it will give you praise and it will give you pride. Anything you do on your own will give you praise and will give you pride. But when God begins to use you, it causes such a glorifying of God to come out of it that it changes people. And what people walk away from that encounter is, my gosh, there is a God in El Dorado. There is a God in Camden. There is a God still in this earth. And that is the purpose of the church. There's a scripture that says, and I love this scripture because we need to understand that the church has a purpose from God. Church is the body, but let me tell you, there is a purpose God has in the church. It says in Ephesians 3, I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. That God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in his rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in heavenly places. That's not talking about angels. Angels know what God's plan is. Who in the heavenly realms does not know what God's plan is? That might be bold and holler it out. The devil. You do know that there is a heavenly realm. It's a spiritual realm. And that there is unseen powers there that are clueless to how big God is. It's the truth. If you look back in the New King James Version, it says, this is the intent that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. What did it say? It says this is the intent. What that means, this is the purpose of the church. Say, I'm the church. The purpose of the church is to make known the manifold, which means the unfolding wisdom of God. What is God doing in your life that's unfolding right now? What is God doing in your life that he's wanting to unfold? What are you saying? What are you speaking? You're the church. If we are speaking what God is wanting to do, God will do it. If we are speaking what God's intent is to do in our life and in our situations, God will do it. But my question is, are we speaking it? I'm going to tell you, you got to be bold to speak it. And I'm not talking about in your prayer closet, because we all get bold in there. I will even dance in my prayer closet, and I can't dance worth a lick. I'm telling you, I will get righteously bold in there. But are we speaking it out of our mouth to others? Are we speaking it out of our mouth to situations that we're involved in? I know what God is doing here. Oh, really? I know that God is going to heal you. Really? I know that God is going to take your marriage, turn it upside down, heal it, restore it, bless it. Really? If you start speaking it, you're attached to that. You know that. And what the enemy will do, how many of you know when you're pregnant, you don't want to tell anybody, right? Lee and them just had this wonderful baby. But for 3 months, you don't want to tell anybody. Why? Because what if it don't happen? And you got to go back and recant. Church, I feel like a lot of ways I'm like that in my life. If I actually get out and say it, I might have to recant. You will never move mountains with faith like that. You will never move mountains with faith like that. God said, would I bring you up to birth and not cause you to deliver? No, that's not the way God works. The only thing that will cause us to come up to a birth and not deliver is that we have not done our part. And what is our part? To speak out what God is going to do. To speak it out. Jesus said it this way, don't be afraid of those who threaten you, for the time is coming when everything that is covered will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known to all. What I tell you now in darkness, shout abroad when daybreak comes. What I whisper in your ear, Shout it from the housetops for all to hear. Here's what Jesus is telling you. What I whisper, scream. Make sure everybody around you knows what I'm about to do. Why? Why would God give us that charge? Why would Jesus say that? Because he says, everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. We need to have an understanding of that scripture. Where's Jesus right now? Beside the Father. So when you step out and you acknowledge that God is in this situation, God is moving in this situation, and you begin to speak what God has whispered into your ear, you know what Jesus has said he's doing? He's acknowledging you. Do you see your son down there? Oh my goodness. He stepped out. He just said that you could do something that has not been seen done in 100 years. God, we got to stand with him. We've got to stand with him. Do you see how he acknowledges you at work? Do you see how he takes a stand of faith? And he says, it don't matter what other men around me do. I'm going to do what God has told me to do. Do you see him, Jesus? God will acknowledge you. God will stand with you. If you will be the one that God can use. Being the one is not for the faint of heart. Being the one is a determination from the beginning to the end. But I can promise you that as faithful as you are at the beginning, God will be more faithful to you at the end of it. You got to know that. Three reasons we speak. Three reasons that... All right, this is the end of that scripture. I got to say it. It says, but everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Don't imagine, this is Jesus, that I came to bring peace to the earth, to the enemy. He says, because I came to bring not peace, but a sword. How many spiritual warriors do I have in here? Let me tell you, God didn't come to bring peace to the enemy. God did not come to pet on the enemy. God did not come to mingle with the enemy. God came to put a sword in your hand and to put peace in your heart that you could stand and say, you know what? You're going down. You know what? My God did not come for you. He came for me. And my God is going to do for me what he has promised he will do. Joseph, was he faithful? Yes. Did it look like God was going to be faithful to Joseph for years? No. But was God faithful? Yes. It don't matter what your situation looks like. It don't matter what you look like in your situation. If God put you in it, if he placed you in it, he wants to use you. He wants to use you. He wants to use you. Will you let him use you? There's three reasons we speak. Number one, we speak so we hear it. Faith comes by hearing. When we speak, we begin to get excited about what God's going to do. We get bold. Number two, we speak what God's going to do so other people can hear it. So they can say, oh my gosh, look what God is going to do. And then when God does it, they say, oh my gosh, look what God did. And then they will learn how to step out in faith. But number three, we speak because we let the devil hear it. Let me tell you something. The devil needs a good dose of fear of God. He's needed it for a long, long, long time. So as you begin to speak and boast, my God, it did not come to have peace with you. My God came to face you face to face with the sword. You know what we have? Our God doesn't carry, Jesus doesn't carry a sword. Jesus is our sword, right? So when we have Jesus, we have our sword. The enemy needs to know what God is going to do, because I'm going to tell you, I think he forgets how big God is. I think he is so confused with his own lies that he has convinced himself that at some point he's going to win. When you start speaking God's word to the enemy, he gets scared. He starts to fear God. The enemy needs to fear God, because when you're afraid in a situation, do you act normal? No. Do you act rational? Are you calculated when you're afraid? No. When you move into fear, you are all over the place. You make a lot of mistakes. And I'm going to tell you, the same is true for the devil. When he starts fearing God, which means having faith in what God said he's going to do, he starts acting up. And the Bible says that he'll catch himself in his own traps. If you will begin to speak to the principalities, I know the church says, and I've heard it said, don't speak to the devil. I'm telling you, the Bible says, tell that devil what your God is going to do in your life. You tell him, you cannot have my kids. And because you came and touched my kids, you are going to have your rear whooped all the way out of their life and their family's life and their future and their mates, that they're going to be such... I mean, perfect example of that is me. I had parents. I had parents who would stand and tell the devil exactly what he was going to do because the enemy attacked their daughter. And let me tell you, you can believe, and God will be faithful. But when you start speaking to that enemy, you start creating such a situation that he won't stay around you. He won't stay where the God is being praised. He won't stay where God is being boasted. He won't stay where fear grips his heart. And he will flee. So here's what I want to ask you tonight. Will you be the one? Go ahead and close your eyes if you will. God put you there. God placed you there. I want you to let God show you right now the situation that you're involved in that seems hopeless. That seems like there's not one thing that good could come out of that. The situation where it seems like it would have to be a miracle for God to use you in it. And I want you to just declare in your heart, God, use me. We don't realize how thankful we should be to God because He chooses us. There's a million different people all over this world that God could have moved there, that God could have positioned there, that God could have planted there, that will receive the blessings, that will get to stand in a place of faith and see God move miraculous. God could have used anybody. He chose you. So out of a heart of thankfulness, I want you to just declare, God, thank you. Thank you for using me. Thank you for trusting me. Thank you for equipping me. I'm going to believe when nothing else seems like it should be, that you are all involved in this. And that because I am here, there is something so miraculous that's going to birth out of this. You're about to get ready to put a whooping on the devil, and I get a front row seat for it. God, your ways are higher than our ways. See, Daniel, he didn't know that his path took him all the way into that lion's den, face to face with that lion. But you know what God knew? God knew what it was going to take to get that king on his knees. So no matter how deep this has to go, I want you to say, God, I'm committed at the beginning, and I'm going to be committed at the end. No matter how far this has to go, you will receive the glory, and I will let your words come out of my mouth. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you know you just committed it. You're in it. You're in it to win it. That's been said over this year. Get in it. That's what Ford. Leonard. I was going to say Larry. Leonard Ford said, get in it this year and get in it to win it. So get in this knowing that you're going to win it. You're going to win it. Get out your scriptures that tell you what the end of the story looks like. And no matter where you are invested in that story right now, know that God is going to do what He said He's going to do, and that God is going to do it in you. In you. In you. Jesus, thank you for tonight. Father, I thank you that you have blessed your children. Because you don't consider them weak. You don't consider them cowards. You consider them strong and mighty. That you can place them in a season and you can do your manifold wisdom opening up into this world. Just like Jerry said, you know, God has desires for this earth. And He wants to use us to have them flow through. God, I believe right now that you are flowing through every person in this room and you are changing this earth. You are changing this earth through these hands, through these feet, through this mouth, through these minds. God, we pray right now that you will have your way and that we will stand with you to the very end because we're in it to win it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.